Welcome back to your Valley Sports Plug. This is the Heat Check Podcast Live. I am your host, Chris Patrick. It is Thursday, November 7th, 2024. Man, I am excited to be back. I feel like it's been a while since we've done a stream. It's been a busy, crazy October, but your Valley Sports Plug boys are back on track. I got, of course, joining me tonight, my amazing co-host, Mr. Michael Benjamin and VSP Tallman. What's up, fellas?
Chris Tallman. We're back in action. I'm back from the Mile High City. Spent some time in Colorado and Denver. Saw T-Pain and Akon at Red Rocks. What a show. What a vibe. What an environment. And then also saw the Nuggets in Ball Arena. I might be biased, but they can't touch us, man. I'm telling you, they can't touch us, man. But it was a fun time. We're glad to be back. Tallman, how you doing, man?
What's up, fellas? I think I need a vacation, so thanks for rubbing that in our face, Michael. But I'm loving this 10-minute auction thing on Pristine Auction. So I'm gonna exit out of it. But thanks for screwing me with that, Mike.
No, pull up. What's one thing that's caught your eye so far? What are you seeing on there?
There was a Julio Rodriguez signed jersey. It was $22.
See,
why the fuck would I want that? I wouldn't.
Well, you got a nice little office over there, man. You can start filling it up with some nice memorabilia. But, I mean, why do you want Julio Rodriguez? I guess I see your point there.
I take it back. It's a Mariners jersey. False alarm.
Oh, okay.
I'm still trying to learn this interface.
Now you got me pulling this up. I mean,
share the screen, Chris. Share it.
All right. I kind of like this. What I'm seeing here, it's a Darnell Mooney signed jersey for $13.13.
And it's a Falcons one, so it's a new one.
Yeah.
Oh, it just went up. He's been a stud for them, man.
Yeah, he has. He's like, is he their number one receiver right now?
No, they have Drake London.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, dude, there's an Ocho Cinco one.
Where?
Oh, you gotta get Chad Ocho Cinco.
Yo, it's like $24.
So that is the one thing about those jerseys, though. If you look at them, Chris, if you go back to that Darnell Mooney one, you notice how the front is just a number.
Oh,
so it's not official jerseys. They're basically made so you can hang them in those little display cases just so you can see the signature, right? They're not really made for you to wear.
So it's like those, white basketballs or white footballs that you get. Yeah. Gotcha.
Now there, I have seen some. There are some that have full jerseys, but those are the ones that normally will catapult in price. But you can find some decent ones. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this thing goes for maybe $22. Darnell Mooney.
So is this one of those things then where they sit Mooney down at a table for an hour and they just have him sign 1,000 things in a row?
Yep, he gets paid like $2,000, and they're like, okay, you need to sign 500 different things. And it can be cards, it can be jerseys, footballs, this, that, and the other. It's the hobby continues to grow. And Chris, I said I brought some props.
Oh,
so my guy, Cody, who is also known as RC_collectibles on whatnot, he does card breaks. So he basically has a bunch of boxes and you can buy in for like a specific team or you can buy in for a pack. So I bought in and I got spun on the wheel to get a random NFL team. So basically he opens up all these packs, whatever cards that are pulled for that team, I get to keep those cards, right? So you're kind of, it's kind of a form of gambling, right? But it's a lot of fun. And it's funny that you pull up Darnell Mooney. I pulled the Atlanta Falcons on my spin. And my guy, RC Collectibles, he had some special cards before even he pulled the pack. So if you got that specific team, I think he had the running back for the Los Angeles Rams. He had a signed card. Who's the new guy who torched the Cardinals last year?
Kyron Williams.
He had some kind of special Lightning Will Levis rookie card. He had a bazooka Daniel Jones. And he had a Bijan Robinson optic rated rookie. So I pulled that before I got the cards. But my guy knows me. So he also hooked it up with a nice little Paris Johnson rookie on the Zenith.
Oh, shit.
And
let's go.
The best one out of all of them. A Chrome Prism Michael Wilson rookie card, baby. There it is. Dude.
You have to have a trash can in your office.
That is fresh.
Just go out and toss it in there.
This one might be going straight to PSA for grading. Going to get a nice gem mint 10. And when this guy is one of the leading receivers in Arizona Cardinals history, I'll sell it right to VSP Tallman and make some nice money off of it, baby.
Might be a little bit of a stretch.
Him and Marv,
pack of gum for it.
Him and Marv are about to be the new Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin in the Valley.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, they're off to a hot start.
Well, I can't wait till our next live stream when Tallman shows off everything he got from pristine auction. I'm sure his background will just be full. But hell yeah. I mean, guys, I don't
know. It's none of it's Arizona stuff.
Yeah.
You can search and find it. It's on there.
But I want a deal, man.
You can find deals, man. Just don't give up too early.
Right. You can't give up. That's the thing. You got to stay persistent. Especially, I noticed that on my little brief stint on Whatnot. I never purchased anything, but you got to be persistent because people are bidding on that shit all the time. So, I mean, if you're looking for a steal, you got to really grind. But if you're willing to fork over a little cash, you can get something. But I just wanted to say real quick, as we kind of start diving in here, you guys might notice, you know, we kind of do, you know, take it a little light on the intro, but just three of us tonight is Heat Check Live. We're gonna try a little bit of a different format. Anybody who's watching live or listening back, we normally have a pretty solid format. I kind of sit in this driver's seat, steer the conversation, ask a lot of questions, and we kind of go around the horn. And that format's worked for us, but we want to try something different for a little bit, see if that gains traction, see if it works for us, see what y'all think, because we're trying to grow and evolve here at Valley Sports Plug. So you might notice tonight as we go through this, it's going to be a little different. We're going to try and keep it a little more conversational, you know, kind of behind the scenes a little bit. We find that when the stream ends, we don't just walk away from our computers right away. We kind of go behind the scenes, do a little debrief, talk for 5-10 minutes, depending. And those conversations are super free flow. And we kind of just continue what we were talking about on the stream a lot of time. We're like, why don't we just talk like this on the stream? So that's what we're going to try and do, a little bit of inside baseball. But fellas, let's talk some sports. I know we're talking sports cards. Guys, the Arizona Cardinals, number one in the NFC West. Come on. Come on.
Gentlemen, I mean, it's been an incredible three-game stretch, too, if you think about it. I was funny. I was going through kind of what we've been doing over the past month, and like we were saying, it was a busy October. But one of our last live streams, either than past the outlet, we had an update on the status of Arizona sports. And you guys remember, we were in an absolutely tumultuous state. I can say that for myself, right? We're coming off an absolute trouncing by Cliff Kingsbury, gross, coming into the Valley, Washington Redskins fans all over the place, just absolutely demolishing the Cardinals. And we're looking at around a 2-4 record at that point. And then we also find, you know, we also had the Arizona Diamondbacks implosion, not making the playoffs. And we were in a really, really sour state. But that's the beauty of sports, man. Things can change really rapidly and really, really quick. And the Arizona Cardinals, it just seems like they're finding their stride right before the bye week. And it's something that we wanted to see, right? What were we asking for? If we want this team to see a possible successful path to not only the playoffs, but now you have to really consider looking at what it would look like to win the NFC West, especially with all of these other teams up and down. You know, the Los Angeles Rams are getting healthier. They're on their own stretch right now. But we kind of knew that the Seattle Seahawks were frauds. They had a really, really shitty schedule up front with some cupcakes. And now we're really seeing kind of what team they are. And the same thing for the San Francisco 49ers. But it seems like the Arizona Cardinals have the clear path to continue to push towards an NFC West title at this point. And at this point in the rebuild, it's truly kind of insane for me to think about, right? When we were doing our predictions before the season, we were talking about best case scenario, finishing second in the NFC West, possibly getting 9 wins. I think both me and Tallman had 9. Chris, you were at 8 and 9. And double-digit wins is not off the table at this point, especially with the back half of the schedule after the New York Jets come to town this Sunday. But it's crazy to be in this position, just a month after us almost wanting to jump off the bridge for Valley Sports. But Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving every second of it so far, man.
Yeah, I'm worried about, obviously, I think the 49ers are probably our biggest contender for the NFC West title right now. As I see it, they got the news that Christian McCaffrey's coming back. Jordan Mason's been banged up, kind of not. He came out the gate hot, but hasn't been as hot. The same with Geno Smith. He's still leading the league in passing yards, right?
Geno Smith, I have no fucking clue.
Oh, yeah. He's over 2,500 yards.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then it's dangerous too, because I mean, we play him almost back to back, and you have a tough Vikings team sandwiched in between those two games against Seattle. So, I like where we're sitting at though. I mean, you look at the rest of our schedule, I think we have the fourth or fifth easiest schedule remaining in the NFL, something like that.
That sounds right.
Because we're only playing one team that has a winning record, which is the Vikings, right? But I mean, you mentioned it though, the 49ers, I mean, all it takes is McCaffrey to come back and, you know, put a spark back into that offense. And then it's the unknown of the Seahawks. I mean, we haven't played them yet. We have no idea. Granted, they're on a downward trajectory right now after coming out hot. And I think they've lost. They're on a losing streak, I think. Then you have the Rams are playing really, really good football, honestly. I mean, they've been really competitive. And then we have to go play in Carolina, where for some reason we don't know how to play in Carolina, what it appears to be the last couple of seasons that we've gone out there, even though you think that should be a layup. But we say that every time. Last time, I think we barely won that game. That game was tough. So I don't know. It's very favorable for us, though. When you look at the big picture, it's like we get past the Jets, where, again, even the Jets, I mean, you thought – they were down and out. They had that win on Thursday Night Football. They're coming off 10 days of rest. They added pieces. They're all in, right? And that Thursday night game that they played against the Texans, which are a good team, even though they're missing a lot of their top offensive weapons. But that was a must win for them to save their season after being a buyer when they probably should have been sellers. So I was rooting for them to lose that game so that then it maybe the Jets just their season explodes. But now this is a must-win game against the Cardinals, right? So we're going to have a desperate football team that we're playing, and we're still playing Aaron Rodgers, where he's not the same Aaron Rodgers. The guy can't move in the pocket. So the pass rush is going to be very, very important, and I think we're bottom three in the league in sacks and just pass rush that we generate. Granted, we could talk about the guy that we added, but –
oh, we got to.
I mean,
we will.
For
we
a guy that barely played, he's got like four tackles, no sacks. He's been injured. I don't know I don't know what impact he's going to make. But
well, do you want to talk about it right now then?
Yeah. Go ahead. What you got?
What do you got?
You're not going to find me getting all fucking
no. While I pull something up about it. Okay, Mike.
I got it.
Okay.
No, I mean this guy. He was really touted coming out of Ohio State. He spent a year, I believe, with Paris Johnson Jr. So Paris had some glowing things to say about him. But he has no sacks. He literally has zero production this year, gentlemen. Now, he did go on IR, I think, between weeks 3 and 7. But he was the starter to start the season for the Denver Broncos, who has been one of the better defenses in the NFL this year under Vance Joseph. Gross. Another name that I want to vomit about, but he lost favor after that injury. I think he has 9 sacks in his career in 3 seasons, and he just has literally no production this year. So for a 6th round pick, I don't hate it, but I think there were other guys for the Arizona Cardinals to have leverage to go out and get that have actually made differences so far this season. And the biggest one for a lot of Cardinals fans, and probably me specifically as well, was Azeez Ojulari, the brother of BJ Ojulari
from
the New York Giants. The guy has 6 sacks. He gets basically a sack every 2 out of 3 games, consistent pressures. He makes plays and the Giants aren't going anywhere, but he ended up not moving because they probably hired the price, because there just isn't a lot of great pass rushers that you're thinking are going to make a difference. At the end of the day, for this Arizona Cardinals team to make this move, it's basically a flyer, but I also think it was one of those things where at least Monty Oss and Fort in the front office were listening to us when we were saying, what is the worst part about this football team? And it's not just the metrics saying it. It's all of the injuries that have decimated this defensive line. When you think about Jones, Bilal Nichols, you lost BJ to start the season, and you lost Dennis Gardeck as well. So you're basically working off a committee. And you can't get complacent about what happened with the Chicago Bears game, because the Bears offensive line is one of the worst fucking offensive lines in the NFL. Like, let's not joke about it, right? We have to give them praises, right? 16 different pressures, 6 sacks. That's great, but it's an outlier. When we start getting down the trenches, and if we do make the playoffs, how confident are you really about this Arizona Cardinals team, the way that it is set up to pressure the quarterback and guys that can get outside of the pocket and make plays? That's where the carrot was still dangling to be had, I think. And I'm just underwhelmed by the move. I like it. You needed to do it, right? You need to add depth because of the decimation of injuries from all of these guys on the defensive line. But you're bringing in a guy who literally has done nothing, and crossing your fingers, hoping that he's going to make a difference. And you're also putting a lot of pressure on Darius Robinson to come in and make an impact as well. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair, because as a rookie,
he hasn't even practiced yet.
But he was also supposed to just be a guy who kind of fills in on the defensive line, and he works within the committee. Now we're asking him to stop the run completely and be a guy who can get in there and get you 6 sacks within the last 7 games. I feel like that's very highly unlikely, and especially, like you said, Tallman, it doesn't sound like he's ready. We're crossing our fingers that he's ready to go after the bye.
Like, why do you – so maybe that's what they're going for. So they activated him so that he could potentially play this season, but the guy hasn't even practiced. So I don't know. Maybe that's what their eyes are set on. You know, he sits out this week. Obviously, he's sitting out this week because he hasn't practiced all week, so there's no way in hell he's going to play. So then maybe that's what they're hoping for. After the bye, he gets healthy. But, I mean, first of all, okay, we know how Austin Fort works. He's not going to overpay in free agency. We saw that. Even if you look at the guys that he did pay for in free agency, they're all on IR. None of them are even playing. Except for Jonah Williams. He's actually on his way coming back. But the two defensive tackles, Nichols and Jones, that's who it was, Justin – Jones and Bilal Nichols,
yeah.
They're gone. They're done, right? So that they made pretty much zero impact on this season. So we start off with how we know Austin Fort works. I mean, I was totally expecting them not to make a single move, right? And then when I saw that, I was like, okay, well, it makes sense, because that's where you're the thinnest position you are in defense, like you mentioned, Mike. That's where you need the most help. So even just having an extra body makes a difference. And you called it, it's a flyer, right? It's absolutely a flyer. But I don't know. I was just not confident whatsoever to begin coming into the season. Then after all those injuries, I mean, you lose our most productive guy in Gardeck. I mean, last week, I'm with you though. It was a terrible offensive line with the Bears that we went against, but it was good to see who got 2 sacks. Was it Zaven Collins?
Zaven.
It was good finally to see Zaven Collins get the 2. You saw Luketta make a difference. I think it was the other young kid, Xavier something. I can't remember his name.
Xavier Thomas.
Xavier Thomas. There you go. So, I mean, that was promising, right? But I'm going to call it right now. I don't think Darius Robinson's going to play this entire season.
I think you're completely wrong.
Really?
The reason I think you're wrong is pretty much just largely based off what I'm just reading while we're doing this right now. He's listed number 1 on the depth chart for the Cardinals at that position. Also, I think I closed out of the article I was reading, but there was an article about Sean Payton, and they asked him about the decision to move on from Baron Browning. Now, they only got a 6th round pick for him, but this is his contract year, right? So he's a free agent after this year. The thing is, like, the short version of Peyton's excuse was that this was a way for Browning to get more snaps, and Browning feels like he's a starter in this league, and the Broncos are obviously in a rebuilding phase and are kind of trying different things out, so he wasn't seeing the field. I mean, this is obviously just Peyton spinning it, but I mean, I feel like after a guy's moved, you don't really have to talk, you know, sweet about him or anything. I'm not saying he's not like complimenting him. He's not like, oh, he's a great player or anything like that. But it sounds like Austin Fort was like, hey, we need a guy that can play and start this week. So I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see Baron Browning starting this week at that position.
No, and he's probably going to have to. I mean, there have been
He will.
There have been some good things that people have talked about. They like his bend. They like his ability to kind of transition around the end. That's great. Just the biggest thing for me is like the tail of the tape. And what's the biggest thing that shows that you are a successful pass rusher? It's tackles and it's sacks. The guy has one tackle this year. Like in the last 3 weeks, he has played, but his shares and snaps continue to go down because they are in favor of Nick Bitonio, who has taken over his spot. And I think they also just chose, it was between him, Baron Browning, and I think the other edge rusher for them, who was 1 year younger, Jonathan Cooper, who they just gave a 4-year, $60 million deal to. So he was expendable, right? At the end of the day, I don't hate the trade, right? It was something that you had to do. There is promise for this guy. I still think there was other guys on the table who could come in and make a true, complete impact right now. And the biggest thing that just grinds my gears about it, fellas, is like we are in first place in the NFC West. If you look at what the Washington Commanders did, they are in the same rebuild spot, probably a year later than us, right? They're just starting, but they see that they can strike while the iron is hot. And they make a trade for a guy who is a bona fide cornerback in this lead in Marshon Lattimore. And they gave up capital.
Great.
The Cardinals said, we're still within our rebuild. We're ahead of schedule right now. Things look promising. There's still definitely a path for this team to make the playoffs. But I feel like all you had to do, like, wouldn't you be more confident if the Cardinals had traded for a guy that has had even like 2 sacks this year, guys? Like, am I crazy? Am I crazy to ask?
Or like even a singular sack this year?
You could
or somebody that wasn't sitting on the bench before they got to Arizona.
I mean, you could have went after Chase Young. Yeah, I know, but he's on the down, but like that's another guy who is a proven commodity in this league at some points. He has been struggling this year, Tallman, but he literally
would have gotten a long-term contract. He's got a track record, right? He was first overall pick, I think, long time ago. But come on, I mean, all right, so I think with all the trades, I think the highest draft pick that was traded, I think, was a third rounder. Was that for Lattimore?
I think so. Third and fourth for Lattimore?
Yeah, so I think that was the highest one. So these, I mean, that's just kind of what it is. I mean, I think Hopkins got traded to the Chiefs for like a fifth. Or something crazy. Yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that. Granted, I mean, they're just trying to get off of these wide receivers that are making way too much money. But, I mean, a pass rusher, a true defensive end, that's number two. That's number two. I mean, the most sought-after position is quarterback, and then number two is going to be a bona fide pass rusher. Like, I mean, I saw some stupid shit out there. It was like, trade Marvin Harrison and 3 first-round picks for fucking Myles Garrett. I mean, obviously, that was just the dumbest thing ever. But it's like,
You're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, and I don't think that person was actually being serious. But that's one of those positions where when you have one, you don't get rid of it. Just like the Browns. I mean, they're starting Jameis Winston, who he probably has 3 brain cells left in his head, but the Browns.
Hey, don't you slander J-Bo.
I almost sent you a video.
Love me some Jameis.
His pregame interview on his first start was great. He answered 3 different questions with the same answer. And I'm not even making that up.
I might've seen that.
Yeah. We might have to watch it later. But what was I saying? Okay, when you have it, you don't get rid of it. Like, look at the Browns. Their season is just completely circling the drain right now. They're not trading Myles Garrett. He's the best player. He's one of the best defensive players in the league. So it's not surprising that we didn't make a splash and for a trade for somebody that could help us like that. At the same time, it's just I don't think we're allowed to have splashy trades like that in Arizona. Doesn't matter what's, unless it's basketball, then maybe that's different. But I think when it comes to football, it's just, we're not allowed to have fun, exciting things.
No, and it's because Monty's sticking to his script, right? And it's working. We're going in the right direction. I totally understand it. You just get frustrated because you see, what did I say before? Like, you can strike while the iron is hot right now. There's just so many different variables of the unknown when it comes to NFL football as a whole. I mean, if you think that the Cardinals are going to come in next year and have $118 million in cap space and spend all of it and sign just the best free agent guys, and we're going to have just a juggernaut team next year, win 13 games, I hope so. But then what happens if Kyler Murray gets hurt and like tears his ACL, right? Like, are you in position to win without it? It can be that quick. So when you see your division struggling this season and you find yourself in first place with the ability to be two games above 500 going into the bye and looking at what is ahead of you, to not go out and get a proven edge rusher at the position of the glaringest need for this team, to put yourself in a position to secure up this NFC West. And Chris, I'm still with you. What you said, I think at the end of the day, it still is the Niners division for the taking, unfortunately, especially as they get Christian McCaffrey back into the fold. But why not give yourself a little bit better of a you know, a push by adding somebody like that when you're the 31st worst pass rushing team in the league? You're basically the worst. It's Arizona Cardinals doing Arizona Cardinals things still at the end right. of the day. But we're still excited about what's happening, and there's a yellow brick road for us to make the playoffs this year. So
yeah, I think I would I do agree with you in some sense about, I think you said it's what do you say, the 49ers for the taking. But I would almost say it's like, you know, same thing without a difference, but I think it's theirs to lose, honestly. In a way, because the Cardinals do, on paper, you could say, have a pretty, you know, an easier path, right? They have the Seahawks twice, should be able to win at least one of those, if not both of them. Patriots win. I know, Tallman, you're nervous about playing in Carolina, but the Panthers, they suck, dude. We should easily be able to manage them. The Rams, that's an interesting one. We did call splitting it. That you're right, they are playing better. That could be a little bit scary. But then how interesting would it be if that Week 18 matchup with the 49ers is for the division title? But I bring that all up to say, I'm looking at the 49ers schedule, and it's not like they have a walk in the park coming up. I mean, they're up against Tampa Bay, which is a scrappy team. I'm not going to say they're world beaters by any means, but Tampa Bay is a pretty fun, scrappy team. Packers, same thing. Bills are obviously the Bills. They're one of the best teams in the league right now. They also have to play the Rams and the Seahawks. They have the Dolphins, who you would think with Tua back will probably start heating up a little bit, finding their stride a little bit more. And then they play the Lions the week before they play us. And that's a big one, especially as we get towards the end of the season when every team is basically in full swing, all the injuries, all the next man's up, all that. So I don't know. I still, with Christian McCaffrey coming back, it is kind of scary. But what, they're still without Brandon Ayuk for the rest of the season. Debo Samuel has been a shell of himself.
They just lost Javon Kinlaw as well.
There you go. I mean, it's easy for us to be doom and gloom in the Valley because we're so familiar with it. But there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. I mean, I think if you look at the last three games, what was it? It was the Dolphins, the Bears, and the Chargers. The Chargers kicked off
the prime time moment for the Arizona Cardinals, the first one in two seasons, man.
If you look at that small window and you go back to our predictions, I'm almost positive just those three games, we probably all picked them to go 1-2 in those three games, and they won all three of them.
Yeah, we picked Dolphins and the Bears to beat them.
Yeah, I think I had picked them to beat the Chargers, but I didn't think they were going to be able to go to Miami. And then
I thought Miami was an L.
The biggest thing for me, I think, with the concern of the Chicago Bears game was going to be how heavy of the presence that the Chicago fan base was going to be. Like, I knew it was going to be 70 to 75% Bears fans. Like, sometimes that can fuck with your psyche when you're in your home stadium. And you know how many times we've joked about, oh, it's basically an away game.
Some guy told Tallman in the parking lot that it was a Bears home
Tallman,
game.
Like, yeah, you're, no joke, no joke. That was an away game for the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, wasn't
for,
it? Like,
for the first completely. Half, it was. For the first half, it was. It was loud.
But if the game had gone different, it would have been the
yeah,
full
but,
game, for sure.
I mean, if we sat down and talked to Kyler right now and you asked him if he was surprised about that, there's no way in hell he's surprised about that. I mean, that's
he's been here long enough. He knows.
Yeah, it's like, dude, that shit happens every single year. I mean, that's just given the transplant nature of this state, and that's every sport. I mean, go talk about anybody associated with the Diamondbacks. What happens when the Dodgers come and play at Chase Field? It's basically a Dodgers game, and it's disgusting. But I mean, that's something that you just grow to basically just deal with. You know, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, and it's all, I mean, that's why it's nice right now. At least the Phoenix Suns have been good for a stretch run, right? So the Valley is invested. And when you go to those games right now, it's Suns fans, right?
Yes,
that was one thing that was glaring for me when I was in Denver at the Ball Arena. I mean, the Utah Jazz are bad. They're the worst team in the NBA for sure. But I saw one Utah Jazz fan the entirety of the time that was in that stadium.
Wow.
And it's not like, you know, how sometimes in Phoenix, when your teams are high profile, it becomes an event. So there's Johnny G over here, you know, the multimillionaire bringing his, plastic surgery, all old wife to the game. And they're just dressed up in their Gucci flip-flops and that kind of stuff. They're not repping anybody. Every single person that was in that Denver Ball Arena stadium was wearing something that said Denver Nuggets on it. So it's still always kind of surprising to go to different areas and see how fan bases support their teams. But yeah, going back to it, this isn't nothing new. This Arizona Cardinals team has won four games the last two seasons, each season. You got to win here in order for the people to show up, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. So, and then also another thing that we experienced together, and it just breaks your heart when we went to the Steelers game. And you saw how they just fucking showed out. Granted, that was a good game. The Steelers won, but I mean, you couldn't pay me money to wear the opposing team's jersey in that stadium. It's just fucking intimidating. But
yeah.
And then to mention the Suns, I went to that game on Monday against the Sixers. It started at like 8:15 on a Monday night. I mean, that's just us getting screwed by that Mountain Standard time change bullshit. But you walk in there, the place is sold out. It's full to the brim. 8:15 on a Monday, and it was impressive. It was loud as hell. It was rowdy, and I probably saw 10 to 20 Sixer fans. It was so absolutely. That's the Suns are doing it right.
And I bet, especially given the way that game went, that most people stayed the entire time too until 10:30 at night.
Yeah, it was late. I didn't get home until like midnight. It was awful.
That's crazy. Yeah, so I'm down to chat about the Suns here. I did want to just pull this up for Tom. You got something, Mike?
No, go ahead, because I got one more thing for football too.
Okay,
that we got to
right,
talk
perfect.
About. But
let's
go ahead, go for it.
Jameis, I can tell you're taking it all in right
hell
now.
Yeah.
Your first start since 2022. Ken Dorsey said that he's been preaching to you to play smart but not conservative. What do you expect from yourself?
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it.
You're looking really focused right now.
Staring
you told
right
us
at the
this
camera
week
like
that everyone inside this building believes that this is the time you guys can turn it around. What's been the message?
Unwavering faith, ultimate belief, dependent on the Lord. That's all we got.
You told me no nerves, just excitement and butterflies. Still feel that way?
Unwavering faith, ultimate belief, dependence on the Lord.
The message is clear, guys. Thank you, Jameis.
Awesome.
How could you not love Jameis Winston?
Oh, he's so funny. He did another one too where they were like in the tunnel or something, and he's like got like three teammates with him, and he's saying something like play for the name on your back, play for the logo on your helmet. And then he like looked around, he's like, well, we don't have a logo on our helmet. Same on the ground. That was fucking great.
There was also another clip I think of him. It was kind of towards the end before Deshaun Watson got hurt. Right. Is Deshaun done for the year or was he benched?
Yeah. No,
I think he's done.
But he was basically, I think he was asked about like Deshaun Watson and how the quarterback play has been going on. And he just almost started tearing up he almost pulled a T.O. Terrell Owens. That's my quarterback. You remember that when he was the Dallas Cowboys? But man, he's there's no way he doesn't enter media after his playing days are done. But this is a perfect transition, Chris. The last thing that I had for NFL football, it's always Cardinals, but it's always good to see the Dallas Cowboys making absolutely ridiculous moves at the deadline and putting themselves into just weird positions. You guys have seen this, right? This fourth round trade of the pick to the Panthers for Jonathan Mingo. Jonathan Mingo is one of the worst wide receivers in the NFL. The Cowboys get worse by this trade. I'm all for it. I love everything about it, man.
Dude, Dak Prescott just went on IR. Why are you trading? And then what did I say that the Chiefs got Hopkins for?
It was like
a fifth rounder. Like, what? This is unbelievable, man. That's Jerry Jones at his finest.
Bro, I mean, okay, first of all, I thought Jerry Jones was way older than he actually is. Anyone want to venture to guess like how old Jerry Jones is?
I know how old he is.
72?
Oh, it's very generous, Mike. 72? Do I need to pull up a picture of Jerry Jones?
I guess, I mean...
Maybe you haven't seen old Jerry lately.
He's 82, right?
Yeah, oh, he's in his 80s?
He's 82. He's 82. I thought he was pushing 90, if we're going to be completely honest. I honestly thought he was pushing 90. This is a pretty not generous picture. For a billionaire, I mean, you'd think he could get some veneers or better teeth going there. Regardless of that, though, I was going to say every year could be Jerry Jones' last year, and he's just trying to do anything he can to keep his team competitive. But honestly, if he's 82 and a billionaire, he's still got at least another decade left, I'd imagine. Hard to say, you know, how life is, but yeah, head scratcher. Mike, I didn't know about that. I don't even know who Jonathan Mingo is.
Oh my gosh, dude. So a trade from the Carolina Panthers. It looked like last year was his rookie year, 43 receptions, 418 yards, no career touchdowns in the NFL. This year only had 12 receptions on 26 targets, 121 yards. He's from Ole Miss. I think there was a lot of promise for him, but he's just no good. And yeah, it makes sense to add weapons, if you want to call it that, to Cooper Rush? I mean, that's the other thing. They're not even going to give Trey Lance an option. Like, why would you not just see what Trey Lance can do?
That makes no sense.
Maybe he's just that bad from what they've seen in practice.
Well, and then
didn't the 49ers just dump him on his ass? Like,
yep. They trade him for basically nothing. But the Prescott injury was a hamstring. And I saw something. I just saw a headline. I didn't look into it, but it said that the muscle separated from his bone or something. Did you guys see that?
For who? Ooh. For Dak?
For Dak Prescott.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Look up that update. So if that's actually true, I mean,
is he done?
Dude, that sounds fucking brutal.
Well, he's on IR, right? So
yeah, he is.
Nearest he can come back, week 14. Cowboys. He's got stuff separated from his bone. Yikes.
Yeah, Prescott's initial diagnosis says hamstring tendon partially tore off bone.
That's bad.
Could possibly keep him on the shelf longer than initially hoped. Jerry Jones said Tuesday that Prescott was likely headed to injury reserve, which he is on injury reserve, and Cooper Rush is set to start. That's crazy.
Oh my god.
That's crazy.
Well, so to end it all, I'm thankful of where the Arizona Cardinals are at, not making these boneheaded weird decisions right now. We trust in Monty. We trust in Jonathan Gannon. Man, it's been impressive to see what Nick Rallis has done with this defense too, guys. I mean, these young cornerbacks, Garrett Williams is starting to cement himself as a bona fide number one cornerback in this league right now, even in just his second year. Max Melton is hit or miss every once in a while, but he's had a really good four-game stretch. They were targeting him, I want to say, a few weeks back, but then he made some nice plays. And let's see if he can get pressure. That's really it, right? That's the thing that will install the most confidence, I think, in me for this Arizona Cardinals team, because you're starting to see the growth of all of these other positions. The offense is starting to figure it out. You know, we have our bell cow and James Conner and Trey McBride is Trey McBride the best tight end in the NFL, gentlemen? Is he?
It's
top three at least.
Trending,
at minimum,
yeah, he's
right?
Trending that way.
Top he's three, got to be top three.
So, positive lights for this Arizona Cardinals team. Now let's break old man Rodgers, man.
I'll tell you this, Mike. Want. Looking at Pro Football Focus, they have him as the number three tight end for this season.
Top three.
Any guess who they have above him?
Might be Kelsey after his past 2 weeks. Cade Otton, is he on that list? He's been a stud.
So without buying a full year's access to PFF, I can only see 1, 2, 3. Okay. But looking through the little highlight thing. Yeah, I'm not.
Brock Bowers on the top three?
Brock Bowers number two. George Kittle is number one.
Yeah, George has been. I mean, with the decimation of the weapons, makes sense.
And it makes so much sense, too, because I've had him on my fantasy team, one of my fantasy teams for like the last 2-3 seasons, and he hasn't done anything. So I was like, my draft strategy in this year is going to be stay as far away from George Kittle as possible. Pretty sure I had the opportunity to draft him at one point and declined to do so. Clearly, that decision is coming back to bite me just a little bit. But such is fantasy sports. But I don't know, man. Trey McBride is a... I like Trey McBride a lot. Well, this is his third season?
Yep.
Second season? Third season? Third season.
You're three.
Yeah, thanks, Steve Keim. Yeah. Only good thing you did.
Fucking
pretty A, much.
Gotta lock him up.
Guess he did Kyler Murray. But
so I know I said we were going to talk about basketball, but...
we don't have to?
We're going to have to. We still got, I think, 30, 45 minutes to go here. I want to rant about baseball a little bit.
Do it.
Because I don't know if you guys saw this, Christian Walker got the qualifying offer from the Diamondbacks, $21 million. He also won his third consecutive Gold Glove award. Christian Walker is 34 years old. He is going to be a free agent this offseason. We have had discussions about this, of course, and it is pretty much the consensus, right, that he's going to decline this qualifying offer and he's going to go pursue free agency. Couple of things that I want to unpack real quick. If he accepts this qualifying offer of $21 million, that leaves the Diamondbacks with just $9 million left to work with to replace Jock Peterson, Randall Grichuk, Paul Sewald. They got some holes that they're going to have to fill in because Jordan Montgomery accepted his player option as expected. He sat down with Brass this week to kind of try and smooth things out after Ken Kendrick went on the radio and talked mad shit. But, I mean, he's a professional. Obviously, he's about his money. He's going to show up and do his job to the best of his ability, which, obviously, we saw the best of his ability wasn't that great last season. So, hopefully, he puts in some work in the offseason. But Christian Walker is what I mostly wanted to talk about because I don't think he's going to be wearing the Sedona red next season. I don't know about you guys.
Go first, Solomon.
Yeah. He's definitely not going to be back. I mean... You saw, I forgot, some dude on ESPN ranked all the top 50 free agents, I think, and Christian Walker was like 16th on that list. And they kind of do the contract projections, whatever, and his was like 3 years, $57 million. And you sit there, it's like that's like $19 million a year. So it doesn't necessarily price them out, but I mean, you know, one of these big market teams are going to come in. They're going to give them 3 years, 75. That's going to absolutely price the D-backs out, which, I mean, I've been saying before, it's just I don't see him getting more than 3 years on a contract. I mean, the dude is 33, right? He's going to be 34. So
I think he's already 34.
He's already 34. Okay. Unless he was like a generational star, maybe, yeah, you know, you throw money at – you throw $25 million at a guy that's an absolute all-star, but that's not Christian Walker. That's why I just couldn't picture his market being that big, to be honest. But
it's tough, right?
Yeah. I mean, you see the Yankees, the Mets, the Phillies, the Dodgers, they come in, they vacuum up anybody that has a good year the year before and they go on. So, but he's not coming back. There's no way.
No. And I think that's like, I think for me, that's the biggest thing with obviously with the MLB not having a salary cap, you get these teams with a lot of money being able to throw more at guys that, you know, basically overpay for players that they probably otherwise wouldn't. I'm trying to find an example here because I thought I saw a good one from the Mets roster. I'm looking at the wrong year. Okay, 2024. Because they paid Brandon Nimmo or something like that. Yeah, they paid Brandon Nimmo $20 million a year to play left field. And he did okay. He did okay, but what is he? He's 31 years old, so I don't know when he got his contract.
Didn't they pay everybody $20 million a year?
Pretty much, yeah. Marte, $20 million, Alonso, $20 million, Nimmo, $20 million, Edwin Diaz, $20 million. Francisco Lindor had $35 million this year. Crazy.
He was worth every dollar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even JD Martinez, old-ass JD Martinez got $12 million.
Yeah, dude, he's like 38, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
$12 million? 38?
Well, 30. He will be 38.
Well, okay, so...
Let's just count him as 38 then.
Well, what was the... Well, okay, so when JD Martinez signed with Boston, he was... raking. Like, that's when he came off his incredible year. He came over from the Tigers, finished out the season with the D-backs, and then signed with Boston the following season. But Christian Walker is coming off a year where, like, his stats didn't, like, hop off the page or anything like that. Like, he had some good games. Obviously, you can account for the injuries and stuff like that. What was it? So JD Martinez got a 5-year, $110 million deal in 2018. So his average salary was $22 million. And so what, 5 years ago, he would have been 32. So he would have been younger than Christian Walker. So I know, obviously, 2018 economy was different, inflation, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud here, guys. JD Martinez obviously became more of a designated hitter, not really ever anything more than a liability in the outfield, whereas Christian Walker has his gold glove with him, which might get him a little more money. But all that to say, I'm with you, Tallman. I don't see him getting more than a 3-year deal, but is that going to be a 3-year $65 million deal? Is that going to be a 3-year $80 million deal? Because if he's only making $20 million a year, he might as well work something out with the D-backs. I mean, if they're willing to give him a $21 million, because Mike, I don't know if you are familiar. I don't quite 100% know how the qualifying offer works. I could probably read into it, but if he accepts it, that's only for one more season, right?
Yeah.
Then that was going to be my question to you guys. How much is this $21 million for? So he's looking to get a long-term deal, right? This is kind of his last ditch effort. Right. And especially 3 gold gloves in a row, you should have the option from other teams to throw a little bit more money at you. Right. But you guys are right. I mean, his bat went down. He also only played 130 games after the past 2 seasons. He played 160 and 157, hit 251. Okay. This year, but home runs dropped 26, RBIs dropped 84. I feel like if I'm paying my first baseman, who is supposed to be one of your bona fide bats and power bats, I need 100 RBIs a season, right? Is that too much to ask for? Am I out of bounds, Tallman, by asking for that from Christian Walker?
No, not at all, but 26 home runs, 85 ribbies, that's not bad.
It's nothing.
That's good. That's good production.
It's nothing to wave your hat away from.
Absolutely not. Like, the only thing that's promising for us, like, so that qualifying offer, it's only for 1 year, and he's going to take that and use that as leverage and go, hey, look at how bad they want me back. This is how much I'm worth, right? But thankfully, the Dodgers have a first baseman. But then you got to think about the Yankees. Who played first for the Yankees all season? Was it Anthony Rizzo? You know, and then I watched, I think, like 2 of those World Series games, and they're like, Rizzo's been awful this postseason. So I don't know what that dude's deal's like, but I don't know. I see him going to a big team, and honestly, I'm a Christian Walker fan. So if he gets his payday that he waited very long for, granted, he's been getting paid the last couple seasons, but he's never had that long-term, like, this is it, like, fuck you money from his baseball career. So I'll be happy for him. If he gets that big deal, he goes to a team that is competitive. And if he wins a series, I mean, You won't see me talking shit about him.
Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, you can't talk shit about what Christian Walker has done. I mean, he won us 3 gold gloves. At the end of the day, that goes down in Arizona Diamondbacks history, right? He's been a stud. He was the catalyst for this team turning the corner and making the World Series as well and having the opportunity for another playoff berth this year. Chris, you pulled this up right here. Diamondbacks $60 million star predicted to sign with the Yankees. It's something that I just would not be surprised about because – if you think about the production that Christian Walker has really put forth for this Arizona Diamondbacks team and how the Yankees are front-loaded and have the money to spend, it would make sense for them to bring in somebody like that. But if we are going off of playoff production, they need to find somebody to play center field because Aaron Judge was one of the worst playoff production dudes in I don't know how long. So that's just a shot at the Ian and the Yankees, but
well, it was funny. I remember because we played the Yankees at Chase Field early in the season this last year, and the last couple seasons, Christian Walker has been rocking the full beard. But there were some conspiracy theorists because during the Yankees series, he was clean shaven, and people were like, "Oh, he's doing his Yankees audition. He's like
he's prepping.
Look at how good I look, bald and clean shaven. I'm a natural Yankee." But Tallman, going back to just what you said, like I think I'm with you. I wouldn't root against him. Like, go get your money. You didn't really make shit for most of your career. You just found success, you know, in the last 5 or so years with the Diamondbacks. Go get your money. Will it suck? Yeah, probably. And if we don't retain Christian Walker, whether it's on that qualifying offer or a 2-year 50 mil, something like that, what do you do with that $30 million? Who do you go get then? Do you then try to look to see if you can throw $20 million at another stud player that you can get in the lineup? Or do you kind of piece in 4, 5, $10 million guys? Or, you know, what's the strategy there?
Yes. So thankfully, because you mentioned it, we got to replace Jock. We got to replace Grichik.
Oh, Josh Bell too. I guess we don't have to replace him.
But we didn't get him for anything. But thankfully, we can replace those 2 guys with 1 guy. Because, I mean, we just got to find a designated hitter that's not just a lefty guy or just a righty guy. So, thankfully, we can make that happen. But, I mean, what are you going to replace that with? Justin Martinez? Or no, what's his fucking name, the old guy? JD Martinez, sorry. Jesus Christ. So obviously we need a designated hitter because our 2 starting designated hitters, our 2 main ones are gone. I mean, you're not getting Jock back. Jock had a great season and he honestly turned into my favorite addition they made last season. He turned into my favorite player when they initially signed him, I was like, Jesus Christ, why? Like what? But he's going to get a multi-year deal. Grichik was on fire at the end of that season. I mean, that guy, I mean, he was quiet and then the dude just was raking it at the end. So, and he can play defense. So he's a good baseball player. So he's going to probably get a multi-year deal. So I don't see them getting either of those guys back, but the question is who's available at designated hitter. Cause that's your glaring need right now is designated hitter.
Yeah. I really don't know what you do. I mean, I know we got guys up in the system. I don't think you would bring in like ADC to be a designated hitter, although he can hit. I don't think you waste a catcher being a designated hitter unless it's a situation where for some reason they go to like a 3-man catcher rotation with Gabby, Herrera, and ADC. And then when ADC is not catching, maybe he designated hits. But that I think that's more of like a last resort option. You're not going to bring up a guy like Jordan Lawler to designated hit. And I think that's the thing is like, I don't think we have anyone in our system that is like a power hitter that we would just plug in there.
Time for Andrew Jones to make his appearance and put him at DH.
You got to make it to AAA first.
Well, yeah.
You can't have a young guy like that and expect him to be your DH all season long.
No, that was I would throw in shade because I know you guys hate him and want to trade him for capital.
That's how dare you make a joke, Mike?
But guys, I think the biggest unsung
Mark Andrews touchdown.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Right, oh, no. Spot tight end.
Yeah, no, let's go.
But I think the biggest thing right now within, you know, the start of the offseason for the Arizona Diamondbacks that has really put the hampering on it, and you guys have already alluded to it, it's Jordan Montgomery opting in to that $25 million deal. I wish it was $25.
Only it was $25.
That'd be so nice.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I'd keep him for $25. But I mean, just horrid last year. 6.23 ERA over 21 starts. At least he did say he was accountable, right? Looks like he met with Mike Hazen and he was extremely accountable for the season that he had. Mike said the right things. He respects it. But it really puts a hampering on what this team can do in reloading. And it's a huge concern. I don't know if I trust Jordan Montgomery to turn the tide from what happened last year. All you can do is hope, right? I mean, another year in the Valley, get your bearings under you a little bit earlier, especially with the way that he was signed with what? Like, a week and a half before the season started. So at least he'll get to go through an entire training camp with this team and spring training and blah, 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 blah. Those are the only hopes that we can have at this point. But man, him opting in really handcuffed the Arizona Diamondbacks. And it sucks, man, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of guys in that clubhouse as well who probably will feel the same way and look at him and be like, all right, dude, there are huge expectations on you because this club was so close to making the playoffs again. And you handcuffed our ability to go out and get difference makers. You have to be the difference maker. So I hope he shows up and they don't turn on him early, man, because he's going to have to get it done this year. That's a damn fact.
There's no way to dance around that. Like he simply has to do better because we're going to have like more problems if he doesn't, because Eduardo Rodriguez didn't step up the way we had hoped he would. He also needs to step up for the amount of money he's making. I feel like Jordan Montgomery's nightmare kind of masked his shortcomings a little bit. And also, I know you guys love this guy, but I'm so worried about Merrill Kelly, man. Mike, he's no spring chicken. He's what, 36?
Our guy is no spring chicken, and he can't take the humidity.
No, and he can't.
That's the other concern, right? I mean, what's going to happen with Chase Field, and what does it look like? Like, how much hotter is it going to be next year, right? Like, there hasn't been any comments or plans about making fixes to the AC units and what has to be done. We know this, guys, as things break down and time goes on, things only get worse. Like, how gross is it going to be in that stadium next year where he's going to be cramping and not be able to finish games? Like, that's also a concern to have as well. But at least we're very, very early in the off season, and we can worry about that as we get closer to spring training.
You know what I think we need here in the Valley? And I think what Chase Field really needs is a hurricane to come through, take out the roof of Chase Field, and that's how we get a new roof. And then the insurance will kick in. They'll help with the air conditioning. Is that too far? Tallman, is that too far?
No, I'm watching the football game.
And what happened?
Jamar Chase just had incredible play.
Let's go. I have him in another fantasy league.
Oh, I was going to say, you bastard. I'm fucking playing you. You need to stop scoring points.
Dude. I'm never doing four fantasy leagues again. Let me tell you that.
That was your first mistake.
I'm never doing that again. Because then I have to be thinking about, I got these people hitting me up for trades. And I'm like, what team is that? I don't even know what team that is. I can't tell you
the last time I've done a fantasy football trade.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I traded for Sam Darnold in one of my leagues because Anthony Richardson was my quarterback.
Ouch.
When you're trading for Sam Darnold, things aren't going well. I'm like on the cusp. I'm on the cusp right now. I think I'm one game out of playoffs. But when you have to make those kind of moves, I don't love it.
I hope you didn't have to give up too much for him.
I traded Jameson Williams, who might end up getting in trouble for having guns. You ready to see that too?
Yeah.
He had two guns in his car and they just let him go.
It's crazy.
The NFL
just let him go. Oh,
yeah. The NFL is going to come down with some kind of suspension. He already is coming off of a 2-game suspension for PEDs. So,
well, so you won that trade. Sounds like it'll be fine.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Yeah,
but
it was an expendable piece. I wasn't really starting him, anyways.
Yeah,
but yeah, Chris. Yeah, we need a hurricane.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad. Yeah,
I brought us.
You're right.
I brought us back in.
You ready for that?
There we go.
Hurricane. You know what that's from, right?
That'd be dodgeball, right? Is that Ben Stiller?
That sounds about right.
There you go, Chris. See, that's why you're the trivia master.
I've been slowly compiling
more
trivia.
Monday Night Football, when DeAndre Hopkins caught that touchdown and he did the thing.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I thought it was the Purple Cobras dance for a second. You know, when the
yeah, it kind of looked like it. Yeah,
you know what it was though?
What was it? See? Was it Remember the Titans?
It was the Remember the Titans dance. Isn't that I'm always still rooting for D Hop, man. It sucks that he's on the Chiefs now and they're 8-0 and they're probably gonna make the Super Bowl again. But like D Hop's the man. D Hop
that
is
catch
the man,
that catch
really after all the shit we talked about, Mike.
Oh man,
D Hop's still the man. You talked shit about him.
Yes.
No.
We all did.
No, you talked shit.
Oh, come on. I wore his jersey to the game last week.
Yeah.
That pass on Monday Night Football, that pass where it kind of, it was a broken play and D-Hop kind of saw it and he just head bolt straight up the field over the top
coverage?
In between three guys. I don't know what's more impressive. First of all, crazy pass by Mahomes. Balls. Takes balls to throw that. Two, what a fucking catch, man. D-Hop. And then in the back of the end zone, just quick little boop, boop, toe tap. Like, it's so interesting watching veterans like him and these other guys that do it with the awareness of where they are on the field, their ability to keep their feet in bounds, get their toes down, versus who is Kansas City? They're playing Tampa Bay. And similar, you know, not a similar situation, but it was when the Tampa Bay was kind of driving, trying to get, I think, points on the board before the half. Baker throws it to the left side. I don't remember who the receiver was, but he caught it, kind of tried to toe tap, but didn't make any attempt to get his left foot down and just go straight out of bounds. And it's like, well, that's the difference between a superstar wide receiver and an average wide receiver. I mean, anyone can run fast and catch, but it's the little details. And so bringing it full circle, D-Hop, man, there's a reason he's still in the league performing at such a high level. And I don't know why he went to Tennessee. That was kind of an interesting, you know, thing to see. But, glad he's happy in Kansas City, I guess. The rich get richer.
It's
gross.
Tallman, are you ready to talk about basketball?
We need to, Tallman. Please.
You guys talk about it.
We're just having a conversation. Buddy, how do you not want to talk about the number one team in the Western Conference right now?
Well, before we do that, Tallman, just let me know if Mark Andrews, Chase Brown, Jamar Chase, anybody else makes a play, just let me know. I probably have them on my fantasy team, so just shout that out.
Just got a touchdown a second ago.
Let's go.
That was the big one.
I'm
playing you in fantasy. I don't even have a tight end
in our in fourth quarter.
No, the fuck fourth quarter.
Oh,
Mike and I are.
Yeah,
last
we're at,
place
the bottom,
in it,
like, at the bottom.
You are playing me in fourth quarter though, Tom.
Oh,
you
I am. I have Joe Burrow.
Yeah, we have Burrow versus Jackson going right now. I have Lamar Jackson in both leagues.
Oh shit,
you're beating me.
They're just gonna cancel each other out.
Yeah, you got to start at tight end. You got Njoku in there right now.
Oh, I do. I haven't even looked at it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't help him.
Don't look at it.
Oh man,
This is against league conduct. To remind him about.
I just want to beat him fair and square. You know,
I'm trying to make the playoffs, guys. I'm trying to make the playoffs.
Mike, like the Phoenix Suns, I'm in first place in fourth quarter league.
Ooh.
So I'm not 7-1 though. I think I'm 7-2. But
Chris, it's been incredible. Can I just dive right into it?
Go ahead.
Obviously, the first game of the season at Intuit Dome. against the Clippers, that one was almost a heart stopper. They had a big lead in that game and let it slip away. But who's been the catalyst so far this year? We know who it is. It's Mr. Kevin Durant. He's been absolutely stellar in the clutch. If you look at this team, I think 6 of their 7 wins have been less than 5 or 6 points. So they're 6-0 in clutch games so far. The one game that they did lose against Los Angeles, they were absolutely dominating that first half. And then they just kind of got out of rhythm on the offensive end and it didn't go well defensively. But if you truly think about what this team has been doing successful to start this year, it's been moving the basketball and finding your playmakers at the right moments down the stretch. I mean, I just think back to this last win against the Miami Heat. Kevin Durant made 3 or 4 buckets down the stretch, and it was all off of high action through Tyus Jones getting into one-on-one positions with Kevin Durant at the top of the key, right? It's a far cry from what was happening last year when we were throwing him the ball down in the deep corner, not giving him a lot of space. It makes it harder for him to move and get to his shot because it's easy for those extra defenders to come over. And he's just getting one-on-one positioning at the top of the key where he can attack. You saw it against the Philadelphia 76ers with his game-winning layup as well going to it. But man, what a far cry from last year when you think about this team. What was their biggest bugaboos? It was turning the ball over and not finishing in the fourth quarter. They were one of the worst fourth quarter teams in the NBA, if not the worst. And it's already starting to shift this early in the season, and you see them at the top of the Western Conference, guys. I don't know if you saw our Pass the Outlet, Tallman, but Chris and I did some predictions for the Phoenix Suns. I think Chris was at about 55 wins. I think I went with 53. And this is a hell of a start for this Phoenix Suns team. And they've been winning at home early too, which is something that you love to see.
Yeah. And, opponents wise, it's been a mixed bag. I mean, Miami and Philadelphia have been playoff teams the last 2 years. So have the Clippers. Clippers aren't the same team, though. Obviously, they're without Paul George and Kawhi. James Harden is a shell of himself. But, Mike, you and I were at that Mavericks game. Man, that was a good, solid win. I don't think I was nervous at any point in that game where I thought that we might not have a handle on it. And I think that's been the biggest thing from what I've been watching from the Suns so far, is it seems like they're playing much more cohesive basketball, especially on the offensive side. You see them running plays. They still kind of fall back to their one-on-one stuff every once in a while, but it's not as much as it was before. And I directly contribute that or correlate that to the Budenholzer hire. I mean, what a difference a head coach can make. I mean, a lot of people say like, oh, the players play, you can't keep swapping out coaches. But in basketball, I think this might be one of the big exceptions where a coach does have a lot of impact on where the guys are, what the lineups are. I mean, Mike, you've been a coach before, and even at the youth level, it makes a big difference what guys you have on the floor together at any given time. And it's no different in the NBA. I just love, like, just looking at this, I don't know what you want to call it, schedule of games that we've had so far. The one thing that stands out to me is the point leaders have been Booker or Durant every single game, which is expected, but that's how it has to be. So that needs to stay consistent. I love to see Tyus Jones leading in assists 4 of our 8 games. That's exactly what we need to see, is our true point guard being a point guard. It's incredible. That might have been the steal of the offseason by any team in the NBA. The signing of Tyus Jones is going to go down as one of the great Suns signings. Obviously, big part of that's going to be dependent on how they perform throughout the rest of the season and hopefully into the playoffs. One point of concern, Mike, what are we doing with Bradley Beal, man? This guy is glass. He's glass. He's like mini Anthony Davis at this point.
Well, he's going on and off, it seems like, with his availabilities to start so far. But he is within a rhythm and working to get continuity earlier than comparative to last year when he didn't even play for, what, the first 6 to 7 games? Like, he was on the shelf to start the season. So at least they're getting into rhythm. They're working within the starting 5 that is going to be solidified for this entirety of this year with Tyus Jones, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Yusuf Nurkic. There's been a big bugaboo for a lot of people to start this season as well, right? There's been people aren't very high on Yusuf Nurkic, and I get it. Yeah, if you look at his stats so far to start the season, you're looking at double-digit scoring nights basically every other night, right? He starts off 11 points, then 4, 18 and 14, then 2 points and 4 rebounds. He's kind of starting to be more matchup dependent. He's had 2 back-to-back solid games. If you want to throw in the Portland game as well, I mean, he did only have 3 points, shot 1 for 6, but he had 15 rebounds. But then he comes out stellar against the Sixers with 15 points, 15 rebounds, shooting 1 for 3 from 3. And then last night, 20 points, 18 rebounds, a perfect 3 for 3 from the field. Like, he's so wishy-washy. But going back to your thing with Bradley Beal, Chris, I think his success is going to be imperative for this, I was going to say Arizona Cardinals. We're talking Suns basketball now. It's going to be imperative for the Phoenix Suns for success in the playoffs for Bradley Beal to be that three-headed monster guy. And he has started to show, as Devin Booker has had some struggles on the offensive side to start this season, Bradley Beal has picked up the slack, scored 17, 18 plus in those nights where Devin Booker has just not shot very well from the field. Didn't Devin Booker shoot 3 of 18 against the Sixers? He struggled mightily, but he was aggressive. He got to the free throw line, finished 7 for 7 from there. So there's still a lot of unsung heroes on this team as well. Royce O'Neal has had a stellar start to this season. I'm so happy we were able to bring him back. Grayson Allen is kind of figuring things out, you know, off of the birth of his child. He has a lot of things going on as well. And I think his build, since he added on those 25 pounds, he's trying to figure out a little bit more how to use that bulk that he has now. And then we can't go out and not talk about Ryan Dunn either, right? I got to see what happens with, I know he sprained his ankle last night, I think, but yeah. He's a young guy. I'm sure he'll bounce back really fast, but Bradley Beal, at the end of the day, gentlemen, whether you like it or not, is the key component for the success of this Phoenix Suns team making a deep playoff run. He's going to need to be healthy. He's going to need to do those little things in the role of a third superstar. And I've liked what I've seen from the time that he has played. I'm with you, Chris. I'm disappointed that he can't stay healthy. But it's on and off right now, and he has been contributing within the time frames that he has played. And screw it, we're 7-1, so we're in a beautiful spot right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it. If that's my biggest gripe, okay. We've had much worse conversations. You're right though. Dunn, I think you're right. Ankle, Bradley Beal, elbow, they're both questionable for the game tomorrow. Yeah, but Brad Beal, you just never know, man. I mean, we were sitting at Marley's downtown before the Mavericks game, a week ago, putting together some parlays, kind of brewing something up. And what's Brad Beal going to do? 15 points? 20 points plus assists? What are we thinking? No, I'm not going to put Brad Beal in my bet. We're going through the door of the Footprint Center. Can't remember the name anymore. They change it every fucking year. And we both get the notification on our phone, Bradley Beal rolled out. So this dude is true, like a true game time decision, which, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that means like he truly, like he does want to be out there and he's like, no, I'll see how I'm feeling game time. See how I'm feeling. He's talking to the trainers and they're like, you know what, Brad, it's a long season. We still got 70 plus games left. We're going to have you sit this one out. And if he's sitting out games, and I think I said this last year, I'm okay with him sitting games out in November, December. Please, please, please start playing in games in February, March, April. Like, yeah, we're gonna need you for the home stretch. I don't care about anything leading up to the in-season tournament. I don't give a fuck about the in-season tournament. Just let the boys cook. Get us a positive record that gets us a 1-8 seed in the West, and then be healthy for the playoffs.
Isn't that interesting already, Chris? The in-season tournament. I want to talk about this for a second. And yeah, I want to know Tallman's thoughts too. I was juiced last year about adding this new wrinkle in. You know, the games, the changing of the court, to be kind of crazy. I do like the orange court that the Suns are going to have this year. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet. But do we already not care? Like, I already don't care. Like, I don't even know what the games are. I don't even know what position the division that the Suns are in. I don't know. Because I know it changes every season, right? Last year, we were in the division with the Lakers and the Trailblazers and I think the Grizzlies. I don't even know who it is. Like, Tallman, do you care about the in-season tournament at all?
Of course not. I guess it starts soon on the 12th.
Okay.
But West Group B, Suns, Spurs, Jazz, Lakers, Thunder.
Okay. See, that's gonna be a tough group already. Yeah. I mean, you got two throwaway teams, right? With the Jazz and who was the other ones? You said Lakers.
Ow. Yeah.
Did you say Spurs were in there too?
Yeah, Spurs are in there.
Well, they could.
So Thunder, Lakers, they're gonna be tough. Then Spurs, Jazz.
Oh, here's our graphic. Hold on. I got you, Mike. I got you. But, let's make this easy.
Chris, like, I can't believe it. It's already year two. And I'm like, I don't even care. I just need this team to get healthy. Like, they are healthy. I'm saying they need to stay healthy and continue the momentum going through this. If you win the in-season tournament, that's great, but
okay.
I don't even care.
Yeah. No, and I think it's funny. I think I called it the mid-season tournament, but it's not. It's the in-season tournament because it's at the very beginning of the season. At least if you're going to do something like this, why are you doing it within the first 3 weeks of the season?
You know what would have been smarter, too, if they would have done it closer towards the All-Star break and then you finish off the championship game in
the All-Star game city.
Yeah. And you have that as one of the events. Isn't that pretty damn cool?
Gee, Mike, what a great idea.
Oh, my God.
A neutral site for a championship game, potentially, like that.
Watch, it's always going to end up being in Vegas in the future. Watch, I wouldn't be surprised. But, Tolman, I do want to know your thoughts. I know you were at the game sitting in some beautiful seats against the Sixers. And you had texted us. You said that last 2 minutes was incredible, right?
Oh, it was. I mean,
how are you feeling about this Sun squad right now? Like, what's the shining light, I guess, from finishing games down the end for this team to actually pull out wins so early in the season?
Yeah, right, well, the first thing is it seems easy when you have Kevin Durant on your team. I mean, that was my takeaway from the last 2 minutes of that Sixer game was like, all right, well, give the ball to Kevin Durant. You know, the guy is just incredibly clutch, but it was a good game. I mean, that was the first game I truly watched so far this season. So don't sue me on that one. I'm still getting my basketball feet rolling because that was the first basketball bet I made too, which is crazy because I bet an incredible amount of times on basketball last season. But anyway, because I think that game was in that game with against the Sixers, I think we were down at one point, like 8-9 points in that game, and then we ended up coming back, and then just another close game. How many close games have we had where we had to? Because I know against the Heat, we were down like 15, 16 points at one point, and then we came back and won that game. So just the way that, granted, we had some things break our way against that Sixers game when I was in attendance watching it. But Kevin Durant, I mean, that was my takeaway from that game, and that just the finish of it was just how good he is, man. And, of course, I go to the game where Devin Booker destroys my bet and shoots 3 of 18. But I mean, that's the luxury of having so many playmakers on your team. And even to start that game as well, where we're sitting, I mean, I watched Nurkic drain a three, and then I watched Royce O'Neal come back and drain two threes back to back. So I'm loving that we're shooting the three pointer a lot more. But I think, of course, the game I go to, I think, was like the least amount of attempts they had so far this season. But I'm trying to be in that 40-45 range in attempts is, you know, which we knew from Budenholzer coming in was going to be kind of this team's identity, where everybody's going to shoot. Even Nurk's going to shoot. So I don't know. I'm feeling good about it. I mean, obviously, when I was on the way to the game, I was like, all right, we're playing the, I think they're 1-5 at the time, the 1-5 76ers without Joel Embiid, their best player. So I was totally thinking we were just going to blow them out the gym, but that was not the case. It was another close game. And I mean, this team's finding ways to win all those close games, obviously. I mean, I've just pulled up their schedule so far. I mean, there's only been one true blowout, what, right? We haven't really had a blowout.
No, they were blowing out Portland, and they had a horrible fourth quarter, which people started to get concerned about basically because of last year.
Yeah.
A crazy turnover towards the end, too, where the guy ended up missing a layup. But, yeah, I mean, everything's been close so far, man.
Yeah, which, I mean, then it's like, how long are we going to be able to survive that and keep winning all those games? But I don't know if that's a problem that we need to – really dive into right now, because we are 7-1. So
yeah, and it's like, it's hard, all right, because we're gonna play every team. The NBA is different, so there's gonna be tests. I'm just looking at like the upcoming schedule. We got Dallas again tomorrow night, so another test there. Luka's back on his bullshit, being a stud. We play Sacramento twice next week and Oklahoma City. We get a nice little break with Utah, so that should be a quick little gimme win by 20 points or so.
That's the in-season tournament.
You're right. Yeah, because it starts on the 12th, right? That Tuesday the 12th, yep. And so OKC is part of the in-season tournament.
The OKC one is too?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's in OKC, okay.
Yep, and then we'll have a week off from in-season tournament play, where we'll see the week of the 17th to the 23rd, we'll see Minnesota in Minnesota. Then we'll come home, play Orlando and New York. That Knicks game should be really interesting that Wednesday, the 20th. And then the week of Thanksgiving is when we'll resume the in-season tournament at home against Los Angeles on that Tuesday, the 26th. So that'll be interesting. So it's not going to get easy for the Suns necessarily anytime soon. Brooklyn, I think we can handle Brooklyn. Golden State is a shell of themselves. Isn't Steph Curry like banged up or something? I'm pretty sure Steph
Curry. I don't know, but they've been hot to start. But I was looking at their schedule to start this season. Oh, talk about different ends of the spectrum, man. Boobie. They've been playing some just crap teams, dude.
So, and that's what I'm saying is like it'll come around where we'll get to play those garbage teams eventually. Oh yeah, they had Portland, Utah, Houston, Washington. Okay, Houston's not as much of a slouch, but okay. So okay, I guess the Warriors are doing a lot better than I thought. Man, I guess I got to pay attention more. Buddy Hield being their top scorer in five of their games so far this season—that's something I didn't see coming. Buddy Buckets, I guess he was the missing splash brother. Yeah, I don't know though. I'm excited though with what the Suns have done to start. I really love the way this roster is constructed, man. Like, I think you were singing his praises a bit earlier, man, but the rookie Ryan Dunn is the real deal, man. That kid can shoot. He is like, he's NBA ready. And I think that's becoming increasingly more common in the NBA with these rookies, where they've been balling their whole life, playing club ball. College is not exactly catching up to the pro game. I never will, but these guys that are coming into the league are much more ready to hit the ground running. And I really like Ryan Dunn, man.
No. And the beautiful thing is his defensive athleticism is just glaring. Like every time you see him on that side of the ball, it's complete energy. And he has the foot speed to stay up with the best of the best so far. I mean, like if you were looking at some stats where he had up against some higher profile guys or higher profile scoring guys in the league, I think they were starting this season off, you know, talking about what he did against James Harden and Luka Doncic. Like he was holding them to under 20% shooting on their field goals. It's just, he has the length, he has the foot speed. He's a young guy, so he should, right? But he also has the smarts, man. He understands that. That's where his bread and butter is. It's on the defensive end. And now they're starting to work him more into the offensive sets, and he's been thriving so far. It's awesome to see. I think there was always going to be kind of, what can Oso Iguodala really do? But he's had some nice spots to start as well. But to get a rookie in here making an impact early, playing 20 minutes deservedly as well to start a season, something we haven't seen in a number of years, man. So yeah, hats off to the kid, man. Hats off to him.
I like him a lot. Tallman, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Ryan Dunn on Viva La Bam?
Yeah, RIP Ryan Dunn.
Oh, that's right. Oh, no. Was that like an OD?
No, he died in a car accident.
He died in a car accident.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And that's what sent Bam Margera off the deep end.
Into a spiral. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That guy's in the past right there.
I've heard he's doing better now, though.
Ooh.
He doesn't look better. Oh, God. I just Googled him.
Yeah. You know, he looks terrible, man.
Who knows when those pictures are from, though? Did you know his his brother is in like a band that's somewhat prominent?
Bam's brother?
Yeah. CKY. CKY.
Are you serious?
Bro, I wasn't a little skater kid. Oh, you know, man. I wasn't going into the fries.
He's a drummer.
I'm in the loading docks. I think you're right. Yeah. He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. CKY. Do you know what CKY stands for?
Camp Kill Yourself.
Yeah.
Of course I know that.
Okay. He was a skater boy. He said, see you later, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Tallman.
No. I know. Every time I hear his name, Ryan Dunn, it's like.
So, okay, Mike, I think this might be exposing something. I need to have more skate-centric trivia questions prepared for Tallman.
Oh.
He can tell me, like, what trick did Ryan Scheckler land in the 2008 X Games to win first place in the street freestyle competition? I'm talking out my ass. I don't know.
No, that's close crazy. To his era. That's definitely close to his era. So I would miss the hell out of that question. I couldn't even tell you the tricks that they did in the Olympics for the Utah dude who won, right?
I didn't even watch any of it in the Olympics. No, I didn't. I didn't watch any of
it. Oh, man, come on.
Come on, bro.
That was fun.
He did win gold in the 2008 X Games stream.
Are you lying? Oh, that's hilarious.
I was thinking of when Scheckler was probably, like, actually good. That's hilarious. That's fucking good. Beautiful. All right. I don't know, guys. I don't have too much more. I mean, I could rant all night about this, that, or the next thing, but.
No, I think we call it, man. We touched on the Valley. Beautiful things. We touched on the Cowboys being horrible. I love it. Shit. Love to see it.
I mean, we talked about everything in the title of the stream, so.
And I got to show my best card that I've got in the past 10 years. This beautiful Michael Wilson rookie card right here.
Oh, you love to see it. Round of applause for Michael Wilson.
Tallman, how's the wide receiver bet going so far?
Oh, does Zay Jones have a catch?
It's going really bad.
He's got a
catch.
Yeah,
he's got one for
one catch.
What about
this
card?
One for three.
This is my prop.
Oh, God.
Paul, you still got your Paul Seawalt. Let's go.
Hell yeah, dude.
Zay Jones on the board, one catch for 3 yards.
You just need that Michael Wilson injury now. And
Don't you dare do that.
So Zay Jones can see the goddamn field. Dude hasn't been playing at all.
Well, it is.
No catches for Michael last week, but I think he's going to surpass his reception numbers from last year. Probably touchdowns as well. He's moving in the right direction. And there was a scare. I think, was it in Miami where we thought he was going to get hurt for a second and then he ended up coming back into the game?
Yeah.
Don't you dare wish ill will on Michael Wilson, Tallman.
How dare you?
Don't you dare.
How dare you? All right, fellas. Well, Tallman, anything else you got to say? What are you doing this weekend?
Going to comedy show, the same one Mike's going to.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah, Tom Segura at Footprint.
Tom Segura.
Yeah, that's on Saturday.
That should be hilarious.
Yeah, it should. What I think it starts at like fucking 9 or something.
Oh God, really?
Well, he probably does like back.
Is he doing two shows?
Probably.
No way.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, probably.
That's very common. Where is it?
How do you? How do you clean out that entire arena?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's more common at like Stand Up Live or
How do they do double headers in baseball?
The same people are allowed to stay the entire. So if you have a ticket for the first game, you can stay for the second game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they don't clean shit.
Actually, I don't know. It just says Footprint Center on the 9th.
I think it's only
public sale. Oh, yeah, it's not sold out. 8 p.m. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, just the one show, I guess.
Oh. Yeah, so
should be fun. What else are you doing? What are you doing on Sunday, Tallman? What's the most important thing?
Oh, watching the Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals.
Whoop that old man's ass, dude. Let's go.
Let's tear another Achilles.
I need another win here going into the bye. I will be jumping for joy, man.
Yeah.
I agree.
No. 100%. Apparently Chris won't be. Chris will just be like, yeah.
I'll be slightly amused. Mike, okay.
We've already surpassed the win total of the past two seasons.
Ouch.
How can you not be just jazzed?
Right Mike, now? This just in, Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase.
Another TD. Let's go.
Yeah, and then they just tried to go for two to win the game. And why don't you just kick it and play for overtime?
Oh, they did.
They missed it? Oh, well, because they didn't get it.
Holy shit. Not really. Guys, in straight balling league, Lamar Jackson has 55.5 fantasy points for you, boy.
Whatever.
Yeah, sounds about right. Jesus.
I'm over here starting fucking Baker Mayfield.
Hey, that's not bad. Baker's got it, man.
I got to make the big choice. Baker Mayfield or Brock Purdy? Oh, baby.
Oh, with CMC coming back?
That should be an easy choice.
Yeah, I go Brock. Go Brock all day. Yeah.
Forgot who they're playing.
Baker's weapons are all
broken. Oh, they're playing each other. I'm a fucking idiot.
There you go.
Damn it. Oh.
Yeah, man. So that could be a shootout, honestly. And honestly, 49ers defense is better than Bucks defense.
Oh, very true. Sure.
In my humble opinion. Mike, I know you're working Saturday, I believe. Watching football Sunday. You got anything else besides the Tom Segura show? Sounds like you already got a pretty stacked schedule.
Oh my gosh, dude. I mean, now we're just getting through the holidays. I'm back in the Valley. I don't have any more trips planned out of Arizona. So I think we're trying to go back east next year. So that'll be the big hoopla trip. So I'm excited to start kind of game planning that kind of stuff. You know me, fellas, at this point in my life, there's going to be some games in there when I go. I might be going to a Patriots game, might be going to a Knicks game at Madison Square Garden. Like, come on, that's something to get excited about. But glad to be back in the Valley, man.
Real quick, Mike, if you had to choose between the two while you're out there, MSG or Barclays?
I got to go see MSG.
All right. Come on.
MSG, it's Madison Square Garden. Even though my buddy Cody has said that is one of the most overrated stadiums.
Never said that.
Not you.
Not you, dumbass.
Not you.
Like he's the only.
I call you Cody?
Are you even Cody? Who is Cody?
Whatever, guys.
He's doxing himself now.
But, I mean, it's. That's one of the places you got to go. Yeah, I'm going to pick MSG before Barclays. Not saying that I wouldn't go see a game at Barclays.
Right.
If I have to go to one or the other, I'm going MSG first. Easy.
That's fair. They got the history. You can see all the
players. I am kind of disappointed that Denver wasn't in Denver. That the Broncos weren't in Denver this past weekend. They were in Baltimore playing the Ravens because I really want to go to that stadium.
Yeah, you know, they say Cody's a bum. Cody's this. Cody's that. Cody's me, bro. Let me be me.
I don't know if they say that.
Wherever tomorrow leaves. Okay, sorry. I'm stopping singing.
You want to keep singing? Go ahead.
I could. It's karaoke.
All right.
No, go watch Surf's Up. I still have to see that movie. Still haven't seen that movie.
Why are you telling me to watch something you haven't even seen?
Because I've seen the most important part of the movie. I don't even.
Okay.
I sent you the clip. I don't know if I told you to watch the movie or not. Anyway.
You probably did, but you also did not share with me that you haven't seen it. So I'm definitely not. You go watch it first.
Okay. Yeah. I'll buy it and then I'll let you borrow it and then never see it again. All right, fellas. Well, what am I doing this weekend? Oh, guys, you asked? Oh,
yeah, what are you, doing? Watching Surf's Up, bro.
Maybe watching Surf's Up. No. This Saturday is my one-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Aww.
So
that's so cute.
We did a little trip about a week or two ago. That was our anniversary trip. But we're still going to try and celebrate this weekend, obviously, on the day, which is
Saturday. Hell yeah.
You guys were there. You witnessed it. So I am married. But yeah, love you, Sabrina. Shout out. That's what I'm doing Saturday. Sunday, maybe we can catch some football, boys. We'll have to see.
Please.
Play it by ear. But Valley Sports Plug, we'll be right back here next week with an Arizona Cardinals recap. Probably another live stream for Yass. Check the schedule. We try and give you a little bit of an advance notice. I think what, Mike, we're about a 24-hour advance notice, rights about on YouTube
for the recaps.
No, for posting when we're gonna go live for like.
Oh streams. Yeah, make sure you guys are subscribed. You'll be able to see. Make sure you ring that notification bell. It'll let you know as well.
Yes, sir.
The other thing we got coming next week: first 10-game recap of the Phoenix Suns. So make sure you guys are tuned in for that.
That's right. We're also going to be doing recaps every 2 weeks of the Phoenix Suns, as we have for the last two seasons now. I think it's going to be our third season doing bi-weekly recaps for the Suns. So all good things as we finish out this year of 2024, roll into 2025. We're always trying to do things bigger and better. Let us know here in the comments on YouTube what you thought of the format of our Heat Check Live podcast. Try to do it a little different. I think it went well, but you know, everybody's their own critic. Like Mike said, subscribe, like the video, make sure you're following us at AZ_VSP on Instagram, X, TikTok, and Threads, and get plenty of sun chips in you like VSP Tallman is here. That's not a sponsorship. That's just, you know, if you're hungry, it's a great snack. But for Mr. Benjamin, for VSP Tallman, I'm Chris Patrick. This was your Heat Check Live. We'll see you next time. Peace.